Okay, today we're learning Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph of Meseches Sukkah, and we are toward the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. We are at Tanu Rabbanan on the second line of the page. It's important to realize, as background information over here, the Torah tells us that Chag HaSukkos Tassel Chashavas Yam Ba'asbecha Migarnecha U'miyikvecha. And Chazal Darshan Tassel Lecha, that the Sukkah has to be yours. You cannot have a stolen Sukkah. So one of the examples of a stolen Sukkah is if you steal a Sukkah that's built on the top of a boat or the top of a wagon, and the Gemara is going to discuss other examples of a psul of a sukkah gezula. There's machlokas Reb Lazar and the Chachamim whether karka nigzelas in general, meaning does a gazlan have kinyone gezela on karka as far as, let's say, some terrible oness happens that's way beyond his control and there's nothing like that he could have done. So do we assume that he is still responsible because it is now his and he still owes the money for what he stole from the person, or do we assume that no, karka einu nigzelas, the original owner is still the bailim, and he's the one that suffered the loss. The machlokas appears in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yad Zayin, and it's about darshan and psukim. So Tan Rabbanan, sukkah gzula, if someone steals a sukkah, if you have a stolen sukkah, v'mesakech b'rishus rabim, or someone puts up a sukkah in rishus rabim, which is also a sukkah gzula, because you're stealing the space that doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the rabim. Reb Lezer posel v'chab machshir, Reb Lezer says it's a posel sukkah, Chum say b'diavad it's a kosher sukkah. So Rav Nachman machlokas b'shatokef es chaveru v'otzio mesukaso. The machlokas is if you go and you grab a guy and you throw him out of the sukkah that he's already built and that's mechuber to karka, etc. For Reb Lezer the tamei, damer eino d'miyotzi yidei chavaso b'sukaso shel chaveru. And this is Reb Lezer l'shitaso who holds that you're not even allowed to borrow a sukkah, that the sukkah has to belong to you. You cannot be yotze with someone else's sukkah. So manavshach I karka nigzela, says the Gemara. If Reb Lezer holds karka can be stolen and it belongs to the gazlan and it's considered like any other metaltalin, the sukkah's possible because sukkah gzula, it's a stolen sukkah, and that we darshan is possible based on tasalcha that a sukkah psula, a sukkah gzula rather, is no good. The inami karka ina nigzela, and even if you want a taina that karka can never be stolen and it still belongs to the original owner, well, Reb Lezer will say good. So sukkah shuli, so then it's a borrowed sukkah, and a borrowed sukkah is also possible. For Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who say that a sukkah gzul is kosher, the Tamayu, they follow their own shita. They hold that you can be yotzei with a borrowed sukkah, and v'karka einu nigzelas, and they hold that karka cannot be stolen, which means that v'sukkah shu'ulihi, this sukkah, although you forcefully chucked the other guy out of the sukkah, we consider it to be a borrowed sukkah, because there's no such thing as stealing karka, so it's all considered borrowed. And the borrowed sukkah, according to Rabbanan, is fine. Aval, but if the case were not where you chucked the guy out of the sukkah, you just went in and threw him out, but the case were gazal etz mesikich mehen, you stole wood and you decided to be mesakich with it, you tried to use it as chach, so divrei hakol ein lo ella dmei etzim. Everyone would say the nigzal Nigzal's only taina on the gazlan is that he should pay him the value of the wood, because the gazlan was definitely kona the wood that he stole with the shinoi, with building it into the sukkah, and therefore the sukkah is going to be kosher even according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the gazlan just has to pay the money of the value of what he stole. So Gemara says, Mimai, how does Rav Nachman know that Rav Lazar passes in the Braisa only in a case where you physically remove the guy from a sukkah and not in a case where you stole wood, midiktani, because the Braisa says that a sukkah gzula, the Braisa lists it together with dumya d'rishas rabim, similar to a sukkah that's built in rishas rabim. Ah, so it must be that they're similar cases. Ma rishas rabim karka lav didehu sukkanami, lav karka didehu. Just like by rishas rabim, it's not his karka, so sukkah gzula is also not his karka. We're not talking about stealing wood and being misakik with it on his own karka. We're talking about going in and taking the guy, removing the guy from the sukkah. So the chamor misakik is so good. So let's make a main point actually over there. On daf lamed aleph amud aleph, we would say that if you throw someone out of their sukkah and take it, Reb Lezer says possible either because it's gzula or because it's shu'ula. And the chamor would say kasher because they consider it shu'ula and shu'ula is kasher. Main point number two, if you steal wood, the sukkah is kosher, you would just have to pay back the money. Now we move on to a discussion of Takanas Marish. Takanas Marish is that the Chamor Masakin, that someone who steals a beam, a Marish is a beam, and he sets it in a, puts it in a building, he does not have to destroy the entire building in order to return that solitary beam that he stole. If he wants, he could just pay the value of the beam to the original owner. And the reason for the Takana is that if we were to make someone who stole something and then built it into a building, to rip apart his entire building in order to return the item that he stole, no one is going to do tshuva. People who steal things are never going to want to return them. They're never going to do tshuva. This is a takana sashavim. It's a takana to enable people to do tshuva. So says the Gemara Yisafta, there was an older woman that people had stolen from her. The Avadim of the Reish Galusa stole wood from her and made a sukkah with it. And she came to Rav Nachman complaining. She said to Rav Nachman, you should know that the Reish Galusa and all the Talmidei Chachamim are sitting in her in a stolen sukkah, because the Eitzim were stolen from me. Tzvacha, she cried out, I want those pieces of wood back. V'lo ashkach bar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman paid no attention to her. Amralei, so the old woman said to Rav Nachman, how could you not answer me? Itza da havle lavua talas meya v'timni srei avdei. A woman whose father, meaning she's referring to Avram Avinu, who's all of our fathers, had 318 avadim, because the pasuk says in Bereishis Parak Yudalet vayarakes chanichav yelidei beso shmona asar shlosh meyos. So it says explicitly that he had 318 avadim. It's a pasuk. Savcha kameichu v'lashka chisuba. Such a woman is crying in front of you and you're not listening to her. Amar lahu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to the other Rabbanim who are sitting in there, Pi'isa hida. This woman is just a noisemaker. She doesn't have any claim. Ein la ela d'mei etzim belvad. All she has a claim to is the value of the wood. But there's no reason why this sukkah should have to be taken apart. The wood itself, the Reish Galusa owns, and therefore the sukkah is not a sukkah gezula, because a gazlan is kona, stolen wood, through the shinoi, the chamor mesake, and not through the shinoi, just through the fact that he put it into a building. Because once the chamor masaki and takanas marish, you don't have to take apart the sukkah in order to return what was stolen. But certainly, if we find that it's true that they had stolen this stuff, they would have to pay the value of it. But the sukkah is absolutely kosher. So her taina is that we're all sitting in a stolen sukkah. Not true. We don't have to pay any attention to that. Amar Ravina, haik shur de metalalta de gezula, a beam that was stolen and used as schach. Abdil Rabban Takanta, the Rabban made a takana that you shouldn't have to take apart the sukkah in order to return it. Mishum Takanas Marish is part of the Takanas Marish. Says Mar Pshita. Well, obviously that's part of the Takanas Marish. Maishna me Eitzim. Why would this be any different than Eitzim of a sukkah that we said is a Takanas Marish? The Gemara explains. Now, Ma'od Tema Eitzim Shchichi. I might have thought that Eitzim are very common to spend money on. You know, meaning it's very common to find Eitzim to buy. You could buy other Eitzim very easily. So the Chamor Masakein Mishum Takanas Marish, you don't have to give back this piece of wood. They'll find some other piece of wood to be able to buy. Give them money and they'll be able to go to Home Depot. They'll buy the same exact piece of wood. So you know, they don't have to rip apart your whole building. So Aval Hai, but a beam of a sukkah lo shchicha, it's not so easy to find and the exact type of beam. Say malo, so I might think the chum were never misakin takanas marish, because the nigzel is really losing out over here. It's not so easy to find this piece of wood. So I might have thought takanas marish doesn't apply. So kamash malon, that's why we need to be told that takanas marish applies even in such a circumstance. And you could just give back the money. You don't have to give back the actual wood. But hani mili, the Gemara explains, this takanas marish by the wood of a sukkah is only bego shiva. It's only within the 7 days of sukkahs. Avalabas or shiva. But after the 7 days of sukkahs are over, hadabene, then you do have to rip it apart and give back the wood itself. V'yichibro betina, but if you attach it with cement, afilu lachar shivanami, yav le'demei. Then even after 7 days of sukkahs, you only give the money and not the beam itself. So before we get back to discussions of a lulav, main point over here is that the takanas marish applies even on a sukkah, not just for other buildings, even on a sukkah, but only for the duration of Yom Tov. Or, after Yom Tov as well, if it's been cemented in. So Takanas Marish could apply even on a sukkah, but it only applies during Yom Tov, unless it's been cemented in which case it applies after Yom Tov, as well. Now the Gemara goes back to the dinim of lulav that we mentioned in our Mishnah. So Tana, we have a brisa yavish pasul, that a dried out lulav is pasul. Rabbi the Machshir, Rabbi the says that it's kosher. So the Gemara explains: are they arguing only about a lulav? What about the other minim in the dalim minim? So Amar Rav Machlokas belulav. They're only arguing about a lulav. The Rabbanan Savri, that the Rabbanan hold that since the pasuk says priets other kapels tamarim, so we have lulav listed right next to esrog. So Machshina lulav the esrog, we make a hakish. We link up the dinim of lulav with the dinim of esrog. Ma esrog bai hadar, just like esrog obviously has to be hadar because the Torah identifies it as a pre-eitz hadar, and that's why a dried out esrog is pasul. So af lulav bai hadar, lulav also would have to be hadar. Brev Rabbi Yehuda savar lo makshin lulav esrog. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no hekesh between lulav and esrog. He doesn't have he never accepted a mesorah from his rebbeim that there's such a hekesh, and you can't make a hekesh up on your own. A hekesh has to come with some sort of mesorah. Now that is a very major comment. That is how Rashi understands this Gemara, that one is not allowed to make up a hekesh on their own. A hekesh has to come with a mesorah. Tosos disagrees, and he says, no, a gzera shava you need a mesorah for. That everyone agrees. Of course a gzera shava you need a mesorah for. It's just that Rashi holds that, yeah, you need a mesorah for gzera shava, and you also need a mesorah for the other midosh haTorah and Drashas Ben. It's only a kal v'chomer that does not require a mesorah. Whereas Tosos says, no, it's only a gzera shava that does require a mesorah. Everything else does not require a mesorah. So anyway, Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't have this hekesh for whatever reason between lulav and esrog. Aval be'esrog divrei akal hadar be'inan. But by esrog, of course, it needs to be hadar. So says the Gemara, ubalulav lobay Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Do you mean to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda thinks you don't need a lulav to be hadar? Va'atanan, when the Mishnah says Rabbi Domer yagdenem ilamayla, Rabbi Yehuda says that if the leaves are starting to come apart on top, so you should tie it on top to make it look aligned with the spine of the lulav, and otherwise it's going to be puzzle. So my time, lav mishum d'bayi hadar. Why does he think that it's so important that it look nice on the top, that it be bound together? Isn't it because of a concern of hadar? So isn't this Akasha and Rava who thinks that Rabbi Yehuda does not require hadar by a lulav? Where it says lo. The reason Rabbi Yehuda requires binding the lulav on the top when it's nifra du'alav is not because of hadar, rather kidiktani taima. It's for the reason that said explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda amar mishum Rabbi Tarfon kapos tamarim kafus shim hayaparud yichavtenu, that the Torah uses the term kapos tamarim and we read it as if it says kafus, that it has to be tied up. When would it have to be tied up? If it's falling apart, it would have to be tied up. So then the Gemara asks further on Rava, velo bai hadar, are you sure Rabbi Yehuda does not require hadar? Vat na'an, we have a Mishnah, ein ogdin es halulav, ela b'mino, you can only bind the lulav with something that itself is the min of the lulav. That's why our minhag is we take actual lulav leaves and use them to bind the lulav together. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara assumes that when Rabbi Yehuda says b'mino, it means that you need to use the leaves of a lulav itself. My time, or why do you have to use dafka, the leaves of a lulav, to tie the lulav? Lav mishum d'bayi hadar, isn't it because it has to be hadar, and that would be a fulfillment of hadar? So you see that even by a lulav, Rabbi Yehuda requires that it be hadar, not like Rava. So says Gemara, lo. The reason Rabbi Yehuda is not because of hadar, daha amar Rava, because Rava explains within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that afilu b'siv, you could tie a lulav even with a sieve, the stuff that grows around a palm tree. Afilu b'ikra didikla, even with the shells of the palm, even these things that are not, don't even look anything like a lulav, and therefore it would not be hadar at all. But it is the min of lulav because it's part of a palm tree. So you see clearly the idea that you have to be ogid b'mino is not a din in hadar. The idea that Rabbi Yehuda requires being ogid b'mino is something else. Elamai time at Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam, why does Rabbi Yehuda require being ogid the lulav with something that comes from a palm tree if it's not a din in hadar? Because he holds that there's a mitzvah to do an eged of the lulav, to bind the lulav, the hadasim and the aravos all together. So whatever is bound together with it becomes part of the chefetz shel mitzvah. And if you were to put in that binding or use to bind those items together some other min, it would turn out that you actually have chamisha minim, that you have five different minim in the lulav, and you're really only supposed to have four minim. So that's the problem. It has nothing to do with hadar. That's why Rabbi Yehuda requires that you're oged b'mino. So now the Gemara asks again on Rava, who explains in the Brisa that Rabbi Yehuda apostles an esrog that is dry because it's not hadar. So says Gemara, b'esrog mi by Rabbi Yehuda hadar, by an esrog does Rabbi Yehuda require that an esrog be hadar? Vatanya, arbas minim shabluv k'shem she'ein pochasin mehen. Just like you cannot take any fewer than the dalin minim, if you take only three of them, you're not yotze any sort of mitzvah. Kach ein mosifin aleim. You're also not allowed to add to the dalin minim. Lo matze esrog. If, for example, you do not find an esrog available, lo yavi, lo parish, lo mrimon, lo davar acher. You cannot just bring some other nice looking fruit. Kamushin. If one of the minim are dried out a little bit and they have some little moisture left, ksherin, it's still going to be kosher. But yevashin, if it's totally dried out, psulin. Rabbi Yehuda omer af yevashin. Rabbi Yehuda thinks even if it's totally dried out, it's kosher. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda brings a raya that even if it's totally dried out, it's kosher, because he says ma'isa b'bnei krachin. There was a story by the b'nei krachin that lived in a place where there weren't very many palm trees. Shoyim marishna silvein l'bnei b'neihen. They used to be marish their lulavim to their grandchildren. So obviously a lulav hayavish must be kosher. Otherwise, how could the grandchildren be using the grandparents' lulav? It must have dried out over the years. So Amrullah, the Chum said back, Misham Raya, what? You think that's a raya that they wouldn't be marished to their grandchildren? Ain't Shasad Chak Raya. You can't bring a raya from a Shasad Chak. They had no other option over there. They couldn't find any other lulavim, and they didn't want people to forget that there's such a mitzvah called lulav. But maybe Enochinami, they're not being yotze their chiyuv. The only reason they would take lulav by the grandchildren was so that people will remember that there is such a mitzvah called lulav. But katani mihas, what do you see the Brisa says? Rabbi Yehuda omer af yevashim ksherin. Now Rabbi Yehuda's even dried out is kosher. My lava esrog, isn't he saying that even dried out esrog is kosher? So you see that even by an esrog, Rabbi Yehuda does not require that it be hadar. So Gemara says, lo, a lulav. It's not talking about an esrog. He's talking about a lulav, hadasim, aravos. That's where it doesn't have to be hadar. That's where it could be dried out and would still be kosher. But an esrog, of course, would have to be hadar. And if it's yavesh, it would absolutely be puzzle. So we'll stop there. But the last main point over here, the Rabbanan hold that even a lulav has to be hadar. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and only requires igud based on the gezeres hakasav, and only requires igud b'mino so as to not have five minim. And Rava says that all agree, Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees that an esrog has to be hadar. Okay, next time, Hashem will pick up Lamed Aleph Amid Beis.